thing,
pieces, though.
yes. Oh, we
Yeah.
will in just one second.
Okay, I didn't know
Right,
if I broke something.
meow. Right, meow.
Right? Meow!
Okay.
Hello!
Hello. How you doing?
Are you talking to chat? Are you talking to
I'm
me? How's
talking
everybody
to you
doing?
and everyone.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hello. Okay, so today we have anxiety. I know people are excited about it.
What?
People have been like so excited about you coming on. They're like, "Oh my gosh, anxiety." Like I had like four or five people recommend you.
Stop it. That's
I'm
really
not
freaking.
kidding. And I asked you before they started asking for you. So they've been all
Well, so
like, "Oh my gosh."
you're all ahead of the curve then. You're ahead of the trend.
Yeah, I
You
guess
like
so.
you knew beforehand. Yeah,
Well,
so
I admire you anyway. Like, I admire you and what you're
Me?
doing.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Little old me. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate it a lot, but I didn't know I was like people know about that
You're
still
like a
blows my
secret
mind.
rock star on Twitch.
Secret rock. I don't wait, can I be a real rock star? Do I
I
have to
mean,
be
you are a
do
real
I
rock star, but I guess
Sure.
because you didn't know it, you're secretly a rock star.
Right. Oh, okay. It's that kind of thing. Okay, cuz
Yeah.
I was confused only for like a hot second, but we're on track now.
No worries. But yeah,
I have to
so.
host you. Hold on.
Oh.
Hosted. That I was like,
Let's
wait, I
make
didn't do
sure.
something.
Okay, that's to let me know. Hey, turn off notifications. Like, except for in that little box. So, we
Yeah,
good.
I feel that. I've done that before. Hey, see, Rage Mage Bot. I have to say,
OMG. What?
your username is a mouthful.
Yeah.
And I tried, so I definitely called you wrong things a few
It's
times.
okay.
I'm
I
sorry.
usually tell people, like, just call me Sage or Meiji or like whatever variation of the name you want. I just tell them, hey, do that.
Okay. Whatever you're comfortable with, that's what you should be
Yeah.
calling me. Got
Yeah.
it. Nailed it.
Pretty
Got it.
much whatever you're okay with, so long as it's not something that's mean, you know?
Sure. Sure. That's fair. Although at this hour coming home from work, I don't know what words I might say something stupid. I don't think it's gonna be anything making fun of your name particularly, but
I mean, you could
I
just
yeah.
call me Sage. How about that?
Yeah, I got it. Nailed it. Sage.
Cool.
I totally came up with that by myself, so that's good.
Oh my goodness. So maybe we should just get
Yeah,
started.
let's get started. Tell
Yeah.
me, let's get ready to rumble or talk. It's not
Let's
just always
get
catching.
ready to talk. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So I had a few questions about you.
Me, go for it.
Yeah. So, can you first tell us a little bit about what you do on Twitch and what you do? Like, I know you have a website and stuff, so can you tell us a little bit about that stuff?
Sure. So, hey everybody. I'm anxiety, which is a combination of Marie and anxiety, which is one of the many diagnoses that I hold, in terms of my mental health. So, about now, a little bit over a year ago, I finally started a project that I wanted to start forever, which is my website and the podcast and everything that you see now on Twitch. And basically, the way that that came to be is that I was in a horrible place with my job and I had to leave, and because of my mental health. And I finally was like, I need to do something because I feel miserable and I feel like too many people feel miserable. And I'm looking for sources, like for good, reliable resources, and there's just like not enough of them. And so like I gotta figure, I gotta do something. And then that compelled me to create the website. And then I figured that the best way to reach people would be talking to them live so that I can have a one-on-one interaction while I maybe offer them some of the sources that I was looking for myself.
Oh,
So yeah. So
that's
that
cool.
was my Twitch. Yeah. I think that's the most succinct answer I've actually given to why Twitch. I think I usually there's a long ramble on.
Yeah.
Oh, hi people. Hi. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Twitch actually has some resources as well. Did you know about
Yes.
them? Okay.
Yeah, but they just posted them up recently. But
It
yeah.
was like in September.
Well, to me, that's recent.
Okay.
I'm old.
That's fair.
I'm old.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't have them. I mean, they didn't have them when I started. And I actually had like made a video back in the day calling them to do it. But it's not like that video gone viral or anything. So it's not like they made it because of me. I mean, we can pretend here that they did it because of me. But that's not at all what happened.
No. But yeah, let's pretend. Let's pretend, though.
Let's pretend, though, that we're super, super even cooler than we are.
Oh, my goodness.
What else? What else in terms of, I don't know, in terms of the website, is there, I don't know what
well,
else.
Well, I just kind of glanced at it. I know that you have a blog and you have.
Yes. Oh, that. Yeah. I was like, wait, I started doing hosting. I told you, I was like, I'm going to slip into hosting mode. And I totally did. And then I was like, wait, why don't I let you ask me a question and then I can respond to that question instead of just rambling at you. All right. I got this. I'm going forward. This is.
Okay.
Nailed it.
So tell me a little bit about your blog.
So the blog itself came to be for years. For years, I had wanted to write, but I wouldn't let myself. I don't know how silly that sounds, but I just didn't give myself permission. I would sit down to write, and everything in my head would be like, well, you're a piece of garbage, and your opinions don't matter, and like nothing you say is important, and nobody really gives a shit about what's going on with you anyway. So like just don't. And so every time I would sit down to write, whether it was fiction or nonfiction, just nothing would come out. It would just be a blinking screen, or I'd end up writing like a short poem or just something usually just mean at myself. Mm-hmm. And so then what happened about 2 years ago is I finally got an editor that I could rely on, meaning I have a friend who I've been able to harass into editing all of my stuff. And he's a wonderful human being. He's actually one of my mods.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and since then, slowly but surely, I kind of gained a confidence that I can write. And then I posted stuff on the blog, and then that got a little bit of traction. I saw people enjoyed some of it.
Oh, nice.
And then somebody said, hey, you should also post on Medium, because then you can make a few pennies here and there off of your writing. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then for a good 8 or 9 months, I ended up being a top writer at mental health, which still blows my brain. And I don't know how I did it. And they took it away. So it's just cool. I get to say that I was a title I had for a little bit of time. So, but that's how the writing came to be. It was just a matter of like, I've always wanted to share my story, and it always felt like it was a great way also to process it myself. So, it's not, originally, honestly, that was the most selfish part, I guess, of everything I started. When I started Twitch, it was very much like, how many people can I reach so that I can help as many people as possible? But when I started writing, it was very much for like, I need to get these thoughts out of my brain onto paper, like process these situations in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, look at that.
Thank you for the raid.
Oh,
I
my
appreciate
goodness.
It.
Thank you for the raid. Should we take a pause to let them?
Yes, let's take a pause and let them roll in. What's up, Dr. WD40? How you doing?
Thank you, Dr. WD40. Of all the places you could have raided, you came to Sage's house. Thank you.
Yay. I do love your emotes, though. They're so cool. The science.
Oh my god! Dude, I like you, science. Ooh, I found somebody to follow. Hello?
He's actually part of a knowledge fellowship. Yes.
And yes. I didn't know about this. Why?
Okay, I'll send you an invite later.
Okay. A knowledge fellowship. That's amazing. I don't know if I qualify
fit in,
for that.
I think you would fit in very well there, actually.
Are you sure? I don't know. I mean, I love me some knowledge, but I don't know if I'm smart enough.
You're good. You'll be fine.
I mean, I do try to know what research I've done. I know I do put in actually a lot of effort into my research, but still. I was about to message you about it. Oh, well then, I consider myself invited by you and not totally that I invited myself. So that totally works.
No, I was going to invite you anyway because I think that you would do well there.
Thank you. That's quite the honor. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
I hope I can do you proud. But thank you for rating of all the places. That's really cool.
Yes.
That's exciting to have peeps in here.
No worries. No worries about distractions. Anyway, as we were saying about the blog.
Yes, I think that's it about the blog in terms of in terms of everything that it represents. Now it is, now it's my soapbox. Now it's where I go to like spread some. I prefer to write things that have a little bit of maybe like research background in them. So like I wrote an article about like how society perceives weight, and then I tried to explain like BMI and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't always do that. A lot of the pieces are biographical, but I try to you know, mix both in. But that's the main idea, is to spread awareness and to spread knowledge in a way that is backed by facts. And like one of the things that people know from my channel that we hate is blanket statements. And so like that's not something you'll catch on my blog. It was just, you know, I'd read a lot of blogs on mental health, and I saw what I felt was missing, and then I set out to fill that gap, and so here we are. And
that's amazing.
And there's the writing. Oh, it's not that. I mean, it's mostly, like I said, it's pretty soapboxy compared to the stuff I do on Twitch. But mm-hmm. I don't think one can exist without the other, to be completely honest.
That's fair. I mean, yeah I think. It is important. Like, honestly, I think it is amazing that you are doing a blog like that, though. Like, for real. It's important to have knowledge like that spread out. And it's okay to have a little bit of a soapbox in it, because it makes it more relatable.
Right. That was kind of the idea. It's weird to, like, sit here and pat myself on the back, but I guess do when they're interviewed, right? I don't know. It becomes like a job. Like, I don't want it to become like a job interview where then I'm like, okay. And then also I have 2 years of experience of not being a jerk on the internet. So that qualifies me to come onto your show and not be mean to people.
I think it's more of a, this is what I'm doing. And this is why, like, it's not more of a, hey, I'm awesome. It's more of a, hey, this is what I'm doing, you know?
Yes. Right. So. And speaking of self-appreciation, there you go. And lack of being able to do that, and just talking about like how often not only will I not take credit, but there's so many people that like I think that will not take credit for like my gratitude, and that's just like, that's also not cool. But I will again, you know, I'll let you ask that when we're ready.
Well, I guess it is a great time to start, because we are talking about self-appreciation. So,
right. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
Like, I know that I have a lot of issues with taking a, like, when people are like, oh my gosh, thank you for blah, 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 or oh my gosh, you're so awesome. I'm like, no, I'm just normal. Stop it. But I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
So I go in between the two, depending on how bad I've noticed that it definitely do with like my, whether I'm in a depressive mood or not nowadays. Mm-hmm. Because quite often, like if I'm feeling crappy about myself, accepting a compliment is pretty much impossible, just because it feels like there's somebody arguing with me about, because there's already somebody in my brain telling me that I'm not great. So anybody kind of countering that to me feels like somebody, like, they're just saying that. They have to just be saying that. It's not honest. They're just trying to counter this voice in my head. And so, because that voice is so trained in like pushing away any appreciation and like joy and happiness, so its job is to even guard me, or to guard us, I guess. Like, that voice in your head, it's kind of, it really wants you to stay depressed. So its job is to guard you from anything positive that might be coming your way.
Yeah.
And so you can convince yourself and do all kinds of like mental acrobatics to make sure that you continue feeling like crap. And so it's really hard to get out of that. But I think it obviously that makes it even more important to appreciate people no matter what the time is, like whether they're feeling bad or they're feeling great. And I would actually say when they're feeling great, appreciate them more, because they're less likely to feel bad, right?
Yeah.
We have a room in our Discord, actually, that's called Just Take the Compliment. And that was based off the fact that people would thank me, or I would try to thank somebody for like being such a kind, you know, person in my community, or being super helpful. And then but then they would like turn it around and try to thank me, and I'd be like, yeah, but not me though. And so we all decided that it was time for us to like take a room. You're not, so the one rule in there is that you're not allowed to do anything that downplays the compliment. So you can't say, oh, it's nothing. You can't say, I really didn't do anything for that. You can't say, yeah, but no sentences starting with yeah, but.
No buts.
no buts except the compliment. That's it. And people break the rule all the time because it's our gut reaction. We're not supposed to, you know, and socially too, we're not supposed to just accept a compliment. We're supposed to be like, no, please, I insist, I'm a piece of garbage, because you don't want to sound boastful and you don't. And so I see the progress though that I've made, where at least now I think I've come to a place where I might not accept the compliment, but I won't maybe downplay what somebody is saying just because you know, I don't believe it, because I feel like I've kind of learned that that's, you know, if you could say nothing, and that's totally okay, just like a thank you. You don't have to believe it to say thank you and show appreciation, right? But you can't, you know, so you show your appreciation. And the other thing is, by downplaying it, you're actually taking away from somebody. It doesn't take, it's not a little thing to compliment somebody either. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's hard to give somebody a compliment because you feel like it takes away from you. Like, our ego gets a little bit of a hit when we compliment sometimes. And so to take away from that, from somebody who's like, you know, I actually really appreciated this thing that you do, and for you to be like, well, actually it's nothing. That's like, well, you know, I just told you it was really meaningful to me. And then you just told me it doesn't matter to you. So I guess, I guess I feel like crap now. And so that seemed unfair. And so it's not like I'm in a place where, again, I can accept really anything, any kind of compliment, but I'm definitely in a space where I can at least say freaking thank you.
Yeah. I know that I have a name for the negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, I call it the lizard. And so I say, I'm just fighting the lizard today.
Ooh, I like that.
And that way I'm not saying, you know, I'm feeling depressed, because when I say that, I feel like, you know, now I'm stuck there, versus I'm fighting a lizard and now I'm like in a, I'm in a battle in a way, and I can win it. So
yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. It like opens a possibility out there. Mm-hmm. I dig that.
I'm curious if you had something like that.
Yeah, I have. We call it the depression monster.
Oh.
Okay. There's also the suicide monster. So, and then so those are the big two that roam around in my brain. And it helps a lot because I can like picture them, right? And that kind of helps me remove myself enough from the situation to, again, just feel like it's happening to me, and not that I am actively making myself depressed. This is something that's happening that I have very little control over, and that I'm fighting and I'm doing the best I can. But it's not like I invited some monster in. Like, this guy just lives up there and he decides to rummage through stuff when I didn't ask him to do that at all. And you know, like, he'll go through like old boxes of pictures you don't need to look at, and like ex-boyfriends and like stuff that you're like, I didn't even know I still remembered that. Why am I thinking about this now? Oh, right, because it's great armor to make me feel like crap about myself now. Yeah. thanks. But you know, they'll dig around up there and they have horrible things to say. But yeah, that's how I've also depersonalized it, and I've said, like, you know, he's dragging me down into the abyss, or like into darkness.
Yeah.
Because that is something that, like, the idea of being pulled down, because I describe depression as like it's a pit, and it's dirt walls, so it's really hard to climb out of it. You can, but you have to wait for the walls to dry, and so that you're not just like slipping down in mud, and or you wait for somebody to throw you a ladder, and then you can be, you know, you say thank you and show your appreciation to that person. But most of the time it's just you're either in that pit with depression monster, who doesn't want to be alone because he very much enjoys your company, especially because it's so easy to get you there. It's so cozy. It's all dark in there and just awful, and reminds you of awful things. But this way he gets to be less lonely. So he'll pull you down in there, and then you have to find your way out. And it's so frustrating, because I also say, like, I feel like he finds new ways to get me in there that I, you know, that I like didn't anticipate. You know, there's certain things about depression that you can see coming. Yeah. You're like, you start like you start negative ideation and then you're like, oh, actually I caught that. Let me start doing something good for myself to counter this, and then I'm going to feel better. But sometimes he'll like, I don't know, he'll just do something new where you're like, you just all of a sudden you're like, right? Where you're just all of a sudden in the pit and you're like, did I get here? I thought I had this. I thought I nailed, like, I thought I like covered this pit. Yeah. It's not supposed to be here anymore. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that.
For me, it ends up being like a random, like 1 hour I'm fine, and then the next hour it's kind of, you know, I'm in the pit, so to say. But then sometimes it's a slow onset. Do you get that as well?
Slow onset. I think, yeah, I think so. I'm now just recently in a place with like medication and therapy, and not like saying this is what anybody needs to do. I just always offer that disclaimer. Like, it's not, this is the only way to feel better. But I do feel like I'm in a place now where that's kind of balanced out. But I do, like, I do remember those weeks where it would be like a week before I felt horrible. And I was back in that place where I was like actually having suicidal ideation. I'm like, how did I get here? Like, I know better. I know not to think these things. I know to catch them when they come along. And here I am sitting here and I just like, I don't want to live anymore. How is it that I have these thoughts floating through my mind at all? And I don't know. I get more that stuff. It doesn't help. It's its own cycle where like I'll get frustrated with myself then, you know.
That's fair. So a follow-up question to all of these is, when you're both in that space and when you're out of that space, how do you accept judgment? So it could be good judgment or not so great judgment, but.
So it depends who it's coming from. There's definitely individuals out there who you can learn that like judgment is really all you're going to get from them. And those are people that you should probably learn to stay away from. But the other thing that that I've found that my brain will do is when I am feeling like crap, it will gravitate towards that. It will gravitate towards a source that will provide me with that judgment. So whether that's like, oh, I'm feeling bad about my body, why don't I go on Instagram and look at a bunch of bodybuilders and then feel extra crappy about myself? So sometimes that, what I'm trying to say is like, sometimes that just comes from you, from within your own brain.
Yeah.
And then, but sometimes that actually, that does come from outside people. But I feel like when it comes from outside people and when it's actually judgment, when it's not, like useful there's a word for it, but like useful criticism, constructive. That's
constructive
what I'm
criticism.
For. Yes. So when it's not like constructive feedback or constructive criticism, we're talking like a whole different story, right? When somebody's judgmental to you, I don't know, man. I don't know that you need those people in your life. I'm just saying. Like if you can definitely, I mean, there's bosses, there's teachers, there's people who, you know, who have some power over you that you can't help it. You're in their presence and you have to learn to deal with it. But if you can remove yourself from people who are just going to judge you for the sake of judgment, which there's plenty of critics out there, including yourself, like I will just remove myself from that as much as possible. But like, I haven't answered the question of how do I deal with it. And I guess just not well. I think that's the answer. Because if somebody's judging me and I'm already down, oh, it's just fuel for the fire. And there's really no way. I mean, unless it's something totally ridiculous. Like I've had people, you know, I've had like relatives come at me with something that just like pushes buttons in such a way that you're like, no, you know what? I'm actually none of those things.
Yeah.
I'm actually really freaking cool. And now I'm mad instead of being upset and you can just go away.
Yeah.
And but definitely the first thing is, yep, I knew it. That's a lot of the first thought. Totally. Thanks for letting me know. I knew that I was garbage. So thank you for that. But I also will recognize if I am in a lower mood. Recently I've been pretty good with it. Mm-hmm. And I won't like look for feedback in those situations. So like a great example is with my editor. If I know I'm in a place where I cannot accept feedback right now, I'm not going to send him a piece. Because what's going to happen is he's going to send it back. And instead of me, like, he does offer constructive criticism. So instead of me accepting it and going through it and being like, how do I make this better? Okay, got it. I'm going to be looking at any single mistake I make as, well, you're garbage. This piece is garbage. Everything you wrote ever in on the planet is garbage. So you might as well even stop trying. Like, if I know that's where I am, I definitely try to catch that so that I actively don't go looking for more, because mm-hmm. that, again, it's fuel for the fire. And have I specifically messaged my editor when I feel like crap to be like, yeah, just pile it on, I'm garbage anyway? Yes, I've totally done that. And guess what happens after that? Ooh, nothing good. It's the same cycle. It's awful. Terrible.
Do you think that there is a way to be able to accept like judgment or constructive criticism no matter what mood you're in or what state you're in? I think that's a better way to say it.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that question. I think you have to find you when you're feeling well, you have to come to a place, you have to learn enough about yourself to know what your downsides are and what things you're good at. And then you have to learn to accept those things. That's I think the only way to do it. And I'm not saying that that's easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
But when I think of judgment that I've been able to accept, it's definitely been because like, yeah, I already know that about myself, you know, or I know that this is not my strong suit. So like, what am I going to do? Great. Like you're coming at me with this garbage, but this is neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So definitely looking at it from the perspective of, can I grow from it? That's the first thing. And definitely always making sure that when you do like deep dive and think about the stuff for yourself, that you do it when you're feeling well. Because we tend to not, you know, make those lists and columns of here's what makes me feel good, here's what makes me feel bad. We don't tend to do that until like stuff's really bad. And that's where you're most vulnerable to the worst stuff. So you could be making, you know, you could be making a column of here's what I'm good at and here's what I'm bad at. But if you're really in a depressive mood, you're more likely going to swing towards that I'm bad at everything.
Yeah.
And so that's not really productive, versus if you know what you're good and bad at when you're feeling good or bad, you can go back to that list and be like, you know what, actually, I'm fine. I'm not the best at walking my dog, which is true story. He will not walk with me. And some days that makes me feel like a horrible parent, because I'm like, why can't my dog just freaking walk when I need him to? But some days there's that. And then there's other times where I will look at that list and I'll be like, nope, doesn't matter. All this is garbage. But I do think that like starting that list and looking back at it and being like, okay, but I'm a good whatever, I'm really good at baking, or I'm really good support for other people. Like all of that stuff really counts. And if you focus on, there's an endless list of things you can't do. And so there's an endless list of things that people can poke you at and hit your ego and your nerves, you know, hit a raw spot pretty easily.
Yeah.
You're like, and I've said this before on my stream, like, you're not the president. You don't know figure skating. You're not a great mime. Like the list of things you can't do that people can potentially judge you for is pretty endless. Yeah. But the list of things that you can do that you can pull out in front of yourself and be like, yeah, but I'm good at these things. It's a lot shorter and it's a lot easier to like have on hand or like at the top of your brain to be able to reference it. And so just knowing that, you know, giving yourself a little bit of a counter, giving yourself of a great, I don't have to be the best, whatever. Mm-hmm. I am pretty good at this.
Yeah. I know that when I start getting those, like, I'm not good at blah, blah, I start getting into like a baking frenzy.
Oh
yeah. Because, I can clean it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I was about to ask, like, what do you do that helps you kind of cope a little bit? Because for me, coping is baking and cleaning the kitchen. Like not just kind of like cleaning like normal cleaning. I mean like deep clean, spring cleaning, cleaning.
See, I wish I could do that. I do the frantic of like, because I start looking around the house, and especially if it's like judgment related to myself, I start looking around the house and going, oh my God, everything is disgusting. And so like, I'm going to Swiffer, I'm going to do a little bit of everything. Like I might end up with, like you said, the kitchen, like I might end up with one room being completely spotless.
Yeah.
And then everything else just like, I need to do everything right now. And so it's not that I'm going to do an amazing job. It's just going to be a, I need to prove to myself right now that I'm decent at something, or that like my house isn't in shambles. And so that will be the first thing that kind of, it doesn't really suffer, but that'll be the first thing that takes a hit. If I'm not like, I'll start doing laundry, I'll wipe the floors, I'll brush the dog and make sure there's no dog hair on the floor, like become just like obsessive at those, you know, at the big picture and trying to make it look in a way that makes me feel calmer. So I guess it's to kind of like summarize it, it's really like nesting more. So it's like, okay, I have to clean the area around and I have to make it livable. Otherwise this is, I can't do this.
Do you think those are healthy things to do?
No. Kitty Bell is saying my ADHD makes me not want to do any cleaning, but I force myself. Yeah. So this is where ADHD comes in, is that I am not like really capable of focusing on one thing. So I'm frantic and I'm upset. And so I'll end up focusing on like 14 things. And that's why they might not be like the best. I might not do them the best. But it, I definitely will have done a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And my husband will even like, what it is good for is it's a sign for my husband sometimes to be like, hey, what's going on? Cause you're doing 16 things at once right now. So I feel like you're either stressed, you're overworked, you're burning out. Like something is not right because he'll walk through the house and there'll be like 14 things not finished. Like I took the laundry out of the basket and I loaded it into the laundry, into the washer, but I didn't turn on the washer. Right. Or like I loaded the dishwasher, but then I didn't turn on the dishwasher. Yeah. And like I started cleaning the fridge, but I didn't throw anything out. I just like put it in the pile next to the fridge, you know? So, and it'll be stuff, it piles up like that. And I won't realize it until it's like the fourth thing that I'm like, wait, what was I doing?
Yeah.
And if I've caught myself saying, wait, what was I doing enough times, it's a sign for me to like, okay, I need to do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I find that that's usually way more soothing.
Yeah.
Because then when you're finished with it, you feel accomplished. So the recommendation is definitely don't do that. but yeah, finding a small thing that you can focus on, that you can hone in on, that you could do well. Yeah. And honestly, like for some people, like my husband and I'm slowly, because I really wasn't a video game player before, but I'm slowly coming to a place where like that might be like playing a round of something. So whether that's sorry, I get really excited and inhale air and then I need to like take a breathing break.
No worries. I can say something a little bit to that.
Go for it.
My husband and I are both one of those people that does like a million things at once. And so we'll both be like, Smoony is my husband, by the way.
Hi Smoony.
So he and I are both kind of those people that kind of do something and then forget about it like halfway through. And it's really difficult. Our apartment is a mess because,
oh my gosh,
because we'll be doing something and then we'll be half into it and then just forget about it. And for me, it's either I fully focus and deep clean something or I'll half do it and just forget about it.
So, yeah.
It's really hard to be one of those like, okay, I'll just make it clean. It's going to be deep cleaned or not cleaned at all.
Oh my gosh. So my question for you is, have you ever found your remote or a controller or anything really that didn't belong in the freezer? Because that is something that I will do. It's either in the refrigerator or the freezer and it's happened, or in the laundry basket. Mm-hmm. So thank God I don't throw things out into the garbage, but I will like walk by the laundry basket and be like, I have a thing in my hand. I guess this is where it goes. Mm-hmm. And then I frantically like search for it. And
so Smoony is an expert at finding my phone and my keys and my wallet and pretty much everything, because I never put them in the right place. I've put my phone inside a drawer before.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And
okay.
I know when I wasn't living with him, once I put my phone in the refrigerator when I went to go get milk, and I put the milk in a cabinet. So right. it happens, but it's okay. Like, there is, if you do !guest, you can find all of her social media.
Yes, please. I am 12 people away from 1,000 on Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. That's so amazing. You do not owe it to me at all, but I promise it's I offer pretty good stuff. It's not just I'm going live tweets. So if you want to go hang out there, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's about mental health, sometimes it's just about silliness. A lot of times it's my writing. So you get a good range of stuff. So that's my advertising.
That is pretty awesome. And thank you. I do have to say last night was like one of the first nights where I wasn't just like posting random things, but like I posted a guess who a superpower is glitching a phone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. See, there you go. I don't think I'm clever enough yet to post stuff like that. Unfortunately. I wish I was.
Yeah.
And TD Bell referring to the video games thing, that the part is you can only like let yourself do like one round mm-hmm. of whatever. Like it has to be, if you're going to sit down and the video game is going to be your grounding thing, then it has to be like a round of or a level of. Like you can't just sit, if you're going to like start doing stuff and you're going to sit down and play video games, it's over, man.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 hours later, you're going to find yourself feeling like crap about yourself because you didn't do anything that you planned on doing that day mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. Speaking of grounding techniques, just in general, not just in general, but like pertaining to this and like focusing, writing stuff down is sometimes the only way that I can concentrate just because it forces me to think through, I'm going to take these steps today. And I'm very much like a goal oriented, like, so I love crossing stuff off a list. Like that makes me feel
really nice.
Oh, it's great. So creating a list that I know I can cross stuff off of is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I just recently started creating so it's the second list. I have like a days to do, and then I have a week's plans for like things that I would like to accomplish in the week that like I may or may not accomplish that week. So like writing a blog post, that's something that can be done in one day, but sometimes that's something for the week's planned. Like I might do it in three pieces, or I might think I'm going to do it on Monday, but not do it till Friday. And I still should be on my to-do list because I definitely want to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty hard if you don't have structure to be able to sit yourself. That's why cleaning and like focusing on one area of the house for me is impossible because I don't make lists that are like, go and clean the kitchen toaster and then move into the convection oven.
No,
and then clean
that.
Right, exactly. So it'll be very much like clean. And then I'm running around the house like a chicken without a head being like, yes, cleaning places.
Cleaning things and stuff. I have realized when I'm actually motivated to do something, like be productive that day, I do have alarm set. So I do it for, I'll play video games for an hour, and then I haven't, after that hour of an alarm, I do set an hour alarm for cleaning.
Have you ever heard of the Pomodoro method?
No, what's that?
So it's, you can get the app on your phone. It's basically timing things in intervals that make the most sense to you. So it's like, first you... it's like going up in time. I'm gonna mess this up. It's like going up in time how long between breaks you take. Like first you sit down to do something and then you do that for 5 minutes. Then you take like you are permitted to take a quick break. And basically you're more productive because your breaks are scheduled. So you know that in the time that you're is slotted for you to accomplish something, you have to do the thing that you were planning to do. So whether that's like you're sitting and writing and you take these intervals, or and the intervals can be like get up and move, and that's obviously the most preferred one, or it could be like, okay, for every 10 minutes I write my blog, I can spend 5 minutes on Facebook. Which actually, that's super. Oh my God, the kids don't go on Facebook anymore. What am I saying? That's so outdated.
You could say,
reference.
Go on Twitter or Instagram.
Go on Twitter. or Instagram or Reddit. Are the kids still on Reddit? I don't know.
I think so. I'm on Reddit. I just started doing Reddit.
But. Yeah. I do enjoy myself some Reddit, but I do feel like I've also gotten so out of touch with it that I can't catch up, which is not, I don't think anybody on Reddit ever intended for that to be the case. No. Like, I think that's all in my head is what I'm saying. but that's like a great thing that once in a while I will use that especially if I'm in a place where I'm like, oh my God, I just cannot focus. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be like 5 minutes break, 10 minutes break, 15 minutes break, 30 minutes break. And so like in between all of those, you have like a little bit of time. So some people say that doesn't work because in some cases people will be like, oh, well, actually, that makes me more distracted. There's a hypothesis or theory out there. Ooh, subscriber.
Yes.
Yay.
So there's a subscribe, by the way.
That's awesome. Jar Jar Far. I actually really like that username too. So there's a theory out there that for every distraction you get, it takes 5 to 10 minutes to get back into whatever you're doing. Mm. And I do agree. Like, if I'm at work and I have 8 hours in my day to accomplish whatever it is I need to accomplish, then yeah, it's a lot more likely that like, oh no, where'd I go?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I thought I did it. I was like,
no, it was an accident on my part. That's why I had the face. I was like, wait a second. So
no, it's totally good.
My bad.
Yeah. So if I am working all day and then I like to get up and I go to pee, right? I'm very much more likely that it's going to take a while to get back into it because I have 8 hours in the day. Like, I'm very much more of a deadline person. If I know I have to accomplish something in that amount of time, I'm way more productive than like, here's 8 hours. You need to do these like 10 things in 8 hours. I'm like, yeah, I know I could do that. And so, you know, okay. I might take my time and be more distracted eventually. Kind of like maybe like in a way creating that deadline for myself, creating that like scarcity of time so that in the end I'm like rushing and doing stuff. I don't know that that's healthy either. I wouldn't use anything that I've said yet as an example of what you should do. They're great examples of things that like, hey, don't necessarily do that, or I'm learning from you to do it, but in this other way, preferably. So that I wouldn't mind that. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I guess the next question is, what is healthy to do? Mm. Do you know what's healthy to do?
I do know what's healthy to do. That's why it's not fair. And that's why I'm laughing at your question. Cause I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. Sure. So do you mean what's healthy to do in terms of like being less distracted or self-appreciation or like, what are you thinking? Where are we narrowing this down to a little
let's
bit?
Let's start with what we were just talking about with time management.
Time management.
And then we can talk about self-appreciation.
Yeah, so the Pomodoro method is a great example of something that will help me. Focus, and that is a healthy example of how to focus. Again, that to-do list. I've heard some people create to-do lists that have time frames on them. So this thing needs to be done in 2 hours. Within 2 hours, this thing needs to be done, and then that also will help you better like spread your day out. I hope that makes sense. Like you're not going to like overschedule that day. And then you're not disappointed that at the end of the day, you didn't accomplish something because you're like, well, I planned 6 hours worth of activities because 6 hours is how much I had. But I also feel like that's not realistic. That's not how people function. So, all this being said, you guys, for real life, I am a project manager. So time and time management is crucial to me. And I have 14,000 methods on how to do it. So like joking aside on like how not to do it, one of the big things that I always emphasize is creating a week's schedule for yourself. Setting up. So especially if you're somebody who works in a 9-to-5 job, I actually have a template that I use.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, where it's just an Excel spreadsheet and anybody could make this table and it's basically 7 days for the week, right? And then you say, if you know that, and again, if you work 9-to-5, pretty predictable, right? Where you're going to be between 9 and 5. So you create this week's schedule based on based around the stuff that you know you're not going to change. And so what this helps you do is this helps you sort out your priorities first, right? So my week schedule, obviously Monday through Friday, my priority is being at work 9 to 5. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. There's a lunch break there. So I do have like a little slot for, you know, in each 5 days of an hour that can potentially be filled with something. But overall, those 8 hours, they're booked up. So that's what I'm doing. Then the other thing I know I cannot do without is yoga. So I have that scheduled as a priority. Like there is nothing, I will not schedule stuff over the times that I know my yoga classes are.
Yeah.
Then I stream. I will not schedule stuff over when I know my streams are. And so basically that creates the skeleton for the week. Okay. Everything else that needs to be accomplished is around that skeleton. And I hope that doesn't sound complicated because it's really not. And then, so everything else is block, like hour block pieces that you move around mm-hmm. that. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue.
So like, if you know you, great example. So I do yoga, but then I also have doctor's appointments but that's every other week. So that is also a priority. So like my skeleton for every other week will probably include that doctor's appointment in it, right? That I can't move. But then something like grocery shopping can be put in anywhere, right? And then if I have to call, for example, maybe that week I need to make an appointment. Well, I'm not going to make an appointment. Like I will not give an availability time for 7 to 9. That's when I stream. Yeah. And that's my first priority and it's not going anywhere. And so I'm a very like structured and I definitely work best in a structured schedule. Like an hour to hour situation will not do well for me. So the second piece of this is understanding and not putting on yourself the pressure of I have to adhere to this exactly as it is. Dear Lord, if I leave my office at 4:45, everything is, you know, a mess. Like it is definitely
minute to minute schedules would be stressful. Yeah.
No, it's more stressful than it's helpful. And so understanding that it's a skeleton and that it's you keep your priorities where they are, but everything else you need to be able to like, you need to understand that there, you have to include some flexibility into the rest of the time around the stuff that's your priorities. But again, it just ensures that like your priorities stay your priorities mm-hmm. because your priorities are literally nobody else's priorities.
Yeah.
Maybe like it's your boss's priority that you're at your job at night till 9 to 5. But even then, like if you don't come to your job and you don't show up a certain amount of time, he's just going to fire you.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. True. He'll find somebody else. Same thing with streaming. Like if you're not going to make it your priority to be there between X amount of time consistently, then, you know, why am I as a viewer going to keep watching you? Well, you know, it's not even like a hard feelings thing. It's a, well, if I don't know when you're going to be on, I am going to prioritize a streamer I know is on that time, right? Like who am I, if it's 7 o'clock on a Friday and I know that that's the time I usually have free, or maybe that there's just randomly this time pops up. Am I going to go and like seek out a streamer that I would like to watch and I think streams around that time? Or am I going to go, oh, I know for a fact this person is on. I'm going to go to that stream.
That's so true. Creatures of habit is what humans are.
Yes.
I do have, if you guys like physical planners, because I'm one of those people that if I have a weekly schedule, I need it physically in front of me. I can't have it on the computer and just be like, oh, yeah, I'll check it whenever.
I have a printout version of it, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I have this this planner. It's specifically for creating schedules and stuff. It's called Passion Planner. And so what it does...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know about it? Okay.
Yes, I do know Passion Planner, but go ahead. No, explain it.
Let's explain it. So it's a year-long calendar for the most part. You could do shorter ones, but I like the year-long ones. In the beginning of the year, it has what are your goals for 6 months, 1 year, and 5 years, and then lifetime. So you get to write those out. Then at the beginning of every month, you get to kind of look back and be like, okay, what did I do good? What can I improve on? And what are my goals for this month? And then in the weekly part of the planner, it has, okay, what are my what are my priorities this week, and then you get to also have a skeleton, as Anxiety was saying, as well as it has a think about this week, which I think is amazing. It helps me kind of prioritize stuff and help me keep the lizard away. So
I do like that, but I am horrible at setting monthly goals for myself. Monthly and annual goals, I'm not good at. I'm very much a, like, let's take this day to day, or maybe like week to week. Again, I have my things that cannot be changed. And then other than that, it's a hard one. It's not that I won't try. Like, absolutely. If I will put a goal down, and again, goals need to be achievable with a set amount of time, right? Like all the smart, they need to be smart. I don't remember what it stands for, all of it, but I do know, I do know, it's like,
it's, I don't remember the exact thing, but I'm just going to write the smart goals out in chat.
Yeah. if somebody Googles that, it's like, succinct. So like they can't be you saying like, I'm going to be a billionaire by the end of the year.
No.
Right. And then it has to be measurable. So it has to be something that at the end you're like, did I do this? Yes or no? There has to be a concrete measurement to it.
Yeah. I think it's attainable.
Yes. Attainable. So again, you can't be like, I'm going to be a millionaire a year. Yeah. Then it has to be, I know T is time. Mm-hmm. R, I'm not sure what R is for. Hmm. All right.
Okay. Well, so the smart goals are a good way to set them anyway.
Yeah. And so I definitely will do that. Like, I will create an overhead idea, but I try to, instead of a monthly goal, I focus on like weekly smaller goals, mm-hmm. because I know I'm more likely to follow through with that. So like, if it helps you visualize it, then saying, for example, if I need to grow, I'm just this totally random. I need to grow a beard this month. Like, that's my goal. Then you should make sure that you have, like, you measure every week at the same exact time how long your like face hair has gotten, right? So that at the end of the when all is said, you have your beard. Yeah. I don't know where I went there, but it's a thing. I think I'm thinking about November. It is that, and also, like, my husband hasn't, not due to November, just because of, like, him being him, he hasn't shaved in a long time, so maybe I'm, like, daydreaming and fantasizing about him shaving. But I love you, husbando. But so creating that, like, bigger goal is obviously, it's helpful, but it's not as helpful as saying, like, my beard's gonna grow 2 more inches. Again, it has to be something that you can actually do. Like, I don't know how much control you have over your beard, so that's not a great example. But you could say, like, I want to start a garden, and then once a week you plant a new flower, mm-hmm. right? And so even if at the end your garden isn't, like, perfect and it's, like, done, you know that you planted X amount of flowers, and that, I think, is a lot more fulfilling to your brain. That in your brain checks off a lot more points of, like, accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Right, than it is to say, like, well, I didn't make my garden. So, because what will happen is if we don't do that, we bump into just exactly that issue where you're like, yeah, but I didn't make the garden. So, like, sure, I planted a flower every week, but I didn't make the garden. And then you lose sight of the small thing that you did accomplish, and that it is still part of the bigger picture that you're trying to create, which is your garden. You still have a few plants growing and they're doing their best, and maybe not all of them will survive and everything, but that doesn't mean you didn't take the time and plant them. And the other thing and the other thing that'll help your brain do is it helps you go, it basically checks the positive mark. Mm-hmm. So instead of, if you don't accomplish something, it's really easy, I find, for the depression monster to attack that and to be like, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And remember, you really wanted to do this and you didn't do that either. Yeah. And now he has a list of 10 things that you didn't accomplish versus if you do smaller things that you can accomplish, your brain is like, I did this. Okay. I did this and I did this. And then your brain starts going, oh, it looks like I'm pretty decent at accomplishing stuff. So mm-hmm. sure, I didn't accomplish this like huge picture, but there's 4 things that I did accomplish So that kind of feels good. Maybe I'm not garbage. Maybe I am capable of accomplishing things. You basically you change the conversation that you're having with yourself that way slowly.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
I think that's partly, I know you don't like monthly goals, but I think that's partly why I like monthly goals is because I can set big goals and then break them down. So if it's like, hey, I want to lose 5 pounds this month, then each week you could be like, hey, try that, like start eating healthier this week.
Right.
And then, you know, hopefully you lose that 5 pounds by the end of the month.
Right.
So that's why I like monthly goals. And then yearly goals are like, you know, you're probably, to me, I'm like, I'm probably not going to accomplish it, but at least I'll put a dent in it, you know?
Yeah. No, I do get that. But I think because this is a thing that I've totally learned. This is what you learned about yourself. And this is a thing that I've learned about myself, which is that I know at the end of the year, if I have not accomplished that yearly goal that I set for myself, it's going to put me back so far in terms of my mental health, just because that will be the only thing that I'll focus on. Mm-hmm. It won't be that I accomplished, you know, 52 things, one for every week. It's going to be, well, I didn't do this one thing and it was a big one thing. And so was this year like a total waste? That I know my brain goes there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I learned about myself over time and time and time again. And like, I don't want to give it that fodder. But if you know that that's what's going to keep you on track, then that's awesome. Then that's perfect. But part of all of this is learning what works for you. Yes. And then again, going back to it, then accepting that, hey, yearly goals are not my thing. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I would love to set yearly goals because I think they would help me. They help me keep on track. And I also know a lot of people who set them and they seem to work for them. But it's okay. Yeah. I'm not a yearly goal person. And that's so hard to do, though. All of that is so hard. It's almost
impossible. It is hard. So moral of this story is do what's good for you. Know what's good for you. If something doesn't work for you, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and do that trial and error and give yourself space. Mm-hmm. To do the error part.
Yeah.
That the worst part about judgment we were talking about earlier is the judgment you're going to give yourself. Like, if we're completely honest. Because the only reason that judgment from somebody else will stick is because you let it stick. You said, this makes a lot of sense. This makes a lot of sense to me that you would say that thing because I already don't believe it about myself. So totally. And then you're just like, you're back down that route.
Yes. Find ways to fight that depression monster, aka the lizard.
I want to call him the wizard, though, because you call him the wizard. Lizard. Yes.
I mean, you could say you're fighting the evil wizard.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
And then you can chuckle to yourself like, ha, I'm fighting the evil wizard.
I'm going to roll 20 and I'm going to knock them right down.
Yeah, no. No, when I say lizard, I'm thinking of like physically, like, because I don't like lizards anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. People. I don't mind lizards at all. Okay.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, in my, I don't really like lizards for some reason. I think it's because to me, they're snakes with arms and like with claws. And I freak out because I love snakes, but snakes with claws, I'm like, I freak out for some reason. I don't know why.
See, I don't like snakes. I'd be totally cool with a lizard. But if you had like a snake monster,
yeah,
I would be like, oh my God, get that thing out of my
So,
but I like that. I like that a lot. Depression monster said, yeah, depression monster sounds scary, but like, have you tried a spider monster? If you're terrified of spiders, that's going to really work.
Yeah. But yeah. Do something that is something that you don't like, but it's something that you can overcome, I guess, is why I call it the lizard. Because I could actually handle a lizard. I just don't like them. So
there you go. I like that a lot. I don't know if you watch on Netflix, but there's a show Big Mouth.
I don't know if you... I've seen it when I was scrolling through stuff, but I haven't watched it yet.
So it's about going through puberty, and they deal with a bunch of different monsters there. They have they have the hormone monster, and then the girls have a hormone monster, and then there's a shame wizard that's there to like make sure that you feel ashamed and like kind of keep you in check. And and so they literally personify, because it's a cartoon, so they literally personify like your thoughts. When you're going through puberty, like, all of your thoughts are basically just, like, owned by hormones, and you're confused all the time. And so it's basically this hormone monster that acts exactly like that. It's just like,
that's so cool.
It is. And so when you said lizard, I'm thinking the shame wizard. And it also helps to know that he's voiced by Remus, the guy who plays Remus Lupin.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's now on my list of Big Mouth.
And dude, I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm. Have you... You've seen Up, I'm sure.
Oh, God, please don't. Please. Are you going to play the start, the, like, first 5 minutes?
I'm not going to. I'm not going to play it. Don't worry. But I'm just saying, to kind of understand depression or emotions in general, I think that that one is a really good teaching tool.
Yeah,
especially for people who are younger and going through their first bout of hormones and start learning who they are. I think that's really important. Or people who are dealing with depression even, because then you can actually be like, okay, this is how it's happening. There's all these other emotions. Sometimes they're mixed. So
are you thinking of Inside Out?
I am thinking of Inside Out. Oh my God.
Okay. Because I was about to say, wait, have you seen Inside Out? And then as you're describing,
I said Up, and I meant Inside Out. I saw them around the same time, and I mix up the titles all the time.
Up is also gut-wrenching, but also will teach you a lot of yourself.
Yes.
But yeah, Inside Out is fascinating. There's a lot of, there's actually been at least like 3 separate professionals who I've talked to who have been like, that movie is the best way to explain anything to anybody about like how emotions work and how like it gets more sophisticated as you grow older, and they get like mixed and, you know, there's 5 to start out, but you get like all of these like intermediate emotions too.
Yes.
And yeah.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me, because I thought I said Inside Out in my head.
That's totally okay. I'm happy I didn't just like rudely. And you're like, no, it's Up. And I would have felt horrible. I would have come in onto this person's show and tell her what
they're talking about. Up is totally a really good teaching tool as well when it comes to learning to grieve and stuff like that. So,
it'll teach you to grieve.
It will definitely teach you to grieve.
Oh my gosh. My dog, when I watched that movie, so first.
Oh,
I guess my dog likes jazz.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
it like muted out for a second, and that's hold on, but no you're fine.
I'm back. Okay, so I was talking about how my dog, because I think he likes the jazz music, but when the first 5 minutes start, I don't think I've ever not cried. I think I've actually tested myself and been like, this time though I know what's coming, so I'm not gonna cry.
Yeah.
And then I start tearing up anyway, but my dog knows to like come to me now if that movie's on. And I think he associates the music with it. Because I'm the kind of person, I rewatch the bejesus out of everything.
Oh,
especially Disney movies. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he knows. He's like, all right, I'm going to go be the emotional support animal again. Sheesh.
Yeah. My cats are the same way, only if you listen to love songs, one of my cats will howl at me until I turn it off. So,
oh my God. That's great.
But if it's anything else, like if I watch something that's sad and I start crying or I'm just not feeling great, my cats will totally come and like cuddle with me and like try to make me feel better. It's adorable, and I love that they're an informal emotional support animal.
I love that. That's really freaking cute. I do love that. Do you mind if I address Jar Jar Far?
Yeah. He goes by Jafar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense. Anyway, so I can't stop thinking about the depression monster lurking. Jafar! Got it.
Yeah.
Your name is Jar Jar Far. It's pretty easy for me to want to call you Jar Jar Farts, okay? We're one letter away from farts.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Well, 2, but still. You get the gist. Nobody would blame me, is what I'm saying. That's the idea is that depression monster is like a lurker, and he's there to like, he's there ready to pounce on you if you don't do things right, if you don't if you are not taking care of yourself and not taking the time that you need and all those good things that we definitely know will cause you to not feel great.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I just posted the links. I guess awesome. This would be a good time to say your links, but
Go for it. You don't have to plug me, but go for it.
Also, MageBot was like, hey, here's some depression links too, if you're curious about how the mind works, and then also if you're wanting a bunch of links through Twitch. So
yeah. I appreciate my bot usually at the wrong time and says the wrong thing. Uh-huh. So once in a while though, it really hits it at the right part.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lurker, dude. It's sitting in the corner and it's just waiting. Like it's the kind of thing where if you know when you're in your pantry and it's maybe like kind of overfilled and you have something on the top, a rack that's like that's ready to fall. It's ready to fall any moment. Mm-hmm. So what Depression Monster will do is he'll like bump it a little bit and then it'll be like, oh no, it fell. And then he'll go and rummage through it and like make a mess. And I didn't at all. Listen. Mm-hmm. And it's too late because then you're in it.
Yeah. I actually saw something that the other day when I was leaving shopping, and it kind of reminds me of what you're calling the depression monster. Was I was watching some, like, a mom and her daughter walking to their car with bags of clothes, and the girl, let's pretend that the girl is kind of the depression monster, just kind of accidentally, I'm putting that in quotes, accidentally puts everything down and kind of tears open the bag. We're watching this very slowly, her putting the bag down and tearing it open so that she doesn't have to,
carry it anymore.
And she starts like crying and stuff about it. And that's how I kind of think of what you're explaining as the depression monster.
Oh my god, there's so much manipulation there.
Yes.
I totally could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking of when you were talking about it.
The depression monster came to, let's do some history then. He came it's not a diagnosis that you can just like outlive, but so I used to suffer severely from PTSD. Now it's under control. But so what I would describe how my therapist kind of helped me make an explanation out of it for myself so that I could depersonalize and remove it and make it like a little bit just not as, if it's not as personal, it hurts a little bit less. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
But so what happened is that we described, you know, those plastic bins, you know, the ones I'm talking about, the Sterlite.
Uh-huh.
You always overload that with too much crap, right? Like it never closes the way it's supposed to.
No, never.
Yeah. Right. Even if it has like the latches on the side, which those are really cool, but it always like in the middle, it always like,
and then it bends outward.
Yeah. But it's because you're messing with the box and like, you will not let the freaking box be. Right. Mm-hmm. So I said, and whenever you like come up and you're like, maybe you touch that bin, the lid will like flip open because it's just like, there's too much shit in there. So I described it as like, PTSD and memories pertaining to PTSD are somebody who has like just a ton of blankets. So blankets are like the hardest thing to fit into anything, right? Because they're full of air.
Goodness, yes.
And they're giant. And so you will like, you'll stuff them in and you think they're in there, but they're ready to pop out at like any given moment.
Yes.
So what you'll do is around the time of spring cleaning, you'll take all your blankets, you'll take all your maybe your winter clothes, and you're ready to put it up in the attic. But first, you have to go through everything and decide what you're going to recycle. So what happens if you have PTSD is that all that stuff just starts like opening up and like throwing itself out, kind of like the wands in the Harry Potter Harry Potter shop when the Death Eater
and Ollivanders where it just goes,
where they're just. Yes. So if you're experiencing PTSD, it's just these boxes like flying at you and just like with everything that they have and just spilling out everywhere. And then you have to stand there and you look at these memories and you stand there and you're like, okay, so now I have to clean this up, but I don't know where to start. And I don't know, like, if I touch this memory, I'm going to start thinking about this thing. And if I touch this memory, I start. And so what would happen, like, a few times my therapist would be like, just leave it. Like, one of the practices is just to leave it dirty on the floor. And that's okay. Like, just consider that that would be totally okay if it was just laying around. Oh my gosh, wait, did Jafar get a subscription to my channel while I'm offline?
I think so.
Oh my goodness, thank you, dude. That's so cool. Thank you. But yeah, so trying to make sense of your trauma is like having to go through and be like, okay, great. So now I'm cleaning all this up. And that means you have to go through those old photo albums you didn't want to go through before you put them away. And basically the goal is to have more bins than you have stuff so that your stuff doesn't like fly out at you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so like an organized mind and somebody who doesn't experience PTSD just has like an attic that's full of stuff that's just like neatly packed away. There's enough room. There's enough breathing space in those, you know, in those plastic bins. Like, it's all good. Nothing is running out to try to get you. But if once in a while you want to go and open something and reminisce, you can do so easily because it's not going to like spring out at you and everything's not going to like be a mess inside. Yeah. And it also that also works with depression because it's the same way. What I used to do, one of the things that I like depersonalized was that I used to go and like sneak into the attic, even though I knew I wasn't ready to like look into this box and look at these pictures.
Yeah.
I used to go and sneak up in there and then start opening stuff and rummaging through it and looking and then being like, oh man, I'm so upset because I remember my childhood was like this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually...
And go ahead.
I actually got rid of a bunch of the pictures that gave me those memories.
Good.
I just threw them out because I couldn't. I knew that it would trigger something no matter what, so I just threw it out because I'm like, I don't want to be triggered anymore. Just
well, yeah. That's the where the spring cleaning comes in. Is once everything is all of this out.
Yeah.
And then that's how you make room in the bins for stuff that you actually do care about, mm-hmm. is that you finally thrown out stuff you don't need. But we do, I know I do this in real life where like maybe not so much anymore because like I'm married and I'm happy, but I do remember distinctly going through old, hold on, AOL online instant messenger conversations, not a joke, of like me and like ex-boyfriends and be like, I'm so sad right now.
Oh my God.
I think he used to love me and look at this, why they were saved. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. It's just all those features. They're probably saved for like professionals, but I would save them because I was me. And then I would go through them and be like, the times were so much better. And now, but I would do that to myself on purpose. It would be like, now's the time to mourn and feel bad for me.
Yeah.
And so we do that with depression. We do that with PTSD. We do that with other mental illnesses as well. Yeah. Is the very long point that I am
trying. The very long point is that we tend to do that to ourselves. And we need to not. We need to just kind of do the spring cleaning.
Yes. So what depression monster and anxiety, whatever monster you have, they go and they start messing with stuff. Mm-hmm. They will go. Sometimes you do that to yourself, but sometimes they will go and pull stuff out that you're like, no, I didn't want to see that. No, I didn't think that I'm a horrible person just because I made that mistake one time in like second grade. But now that you're putting it in front of me like that, I guess I was.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, it's a thing. That and it, we talked about the pit that it will pull you into.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, that was kind of like strangely heavy and it was also kind of nice.
I think I just realized I said, yeah, you're like, it's heavy. And I'm like, no, but it is a little bit heavy, but I feel like I hope I didn't like make anybody else feel bad, but to me, depersonalizing is very helpful.
Yes, it's so helpful.
Yeah, you picture it and then you can kind of really fold it away and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, if this is why that's happening and this is how that's happening, I guess this is bringing it back. It's the reason Inside Out was so awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also why depersonalizing, calling it the lizard, calling it the depression monster is important. And then bringing it all the way back. That's why self-appreciation is important. Because you need to be able to actually personalize, like, yay, I did something good. Yay, I did do this cool thing, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know.
I totally feel that. No, that's just like a great note. See, like you're putting a little on it. Nice. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. So, question to you.
Mm.
And it's kind of one of the questions that you sent me before, which is,
okay.
What do you do to maintain a healthy lifestyle right now? So, if it's a healthy mental lifestyle or physical lifestyle, just a lifestyle in general.
I've definitely taken the time now where I am, and thankfully. I'm not saying I know everything about myself, but at 28, I can say thankfully that like I have some idea where about enough things about myself that I can like say with certainty, I should not do this thing. I should not mm-hmm. do that thing. I should do more of this. And so the things that I've found that help me, and again, none of these are guarantees that they will help you, but one is the scheduling part, creating mm-hmm. schedules and timelines. I know there's actually, I'm going to veer off a little bit, but I'll come back. There's actually a great podcast by Dax Shepard, and he called Armchair Expert. And he talks about when you're not feeling well. So when you are feeling well, you put together of five things, just five, mm-hmm. that you know help you feel better. So then when you don't feel well, you go through that list and you're like, did I do this? No. Did I do this? No. Well, no wonder I feel like crap. I didn't do like three of the five things that will ensure I maintain and feel good.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, that's the principle where this is coming from. So one of them is scheduling. I know scheduling is super important to me. Another one is yoga. A third one is keeping track. So scheduling and keeping, I guess they're kind of the same, but keeping track of my mood. So I use, some people use bullet journals, but keeping track of my mood so that I can re-level myself, because sometimes you'll look back at a month and you'll be like, that was an awful month. But having a tracker has kept me a lot more realistic about what actually it was like. Oh, there were some ups and downs. Actually, that was a really good month overall because yeah. I had a lot of peaks. And so that helps reground me. Did I say yoga already?
You did.
I did. Yoga again. No, but seriously, spending time with my family is huge with me. So I have my small family is my husband and my dog. And then a little bit extended out of that is my sister is basically my mom. And then I have his family that I'm very close to. And so I know that when I start not feeling great, it might be a good time for us to go over there and have dinner with them and just like reground and go back to a space that's like, I'm comfortable. It might not be like the best dinner conversation.
Yeah.
Well, here it's predictable. It's the reason why I love Thanksgiving so much that like, yes, maybe somebody's going to talk about politics or last year somebody talked about bariatric surgery. Like maybe the conversation's not going to go where I want it to go, but it is predictable and comfortable and wonderful in that way.
Yeah.
And I hope that makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. So that's four. And then writing. I know writing makes me feel good. So if I haven't done it in a while, or if actually I am, there's the opposite of I am writing, and I am, you know, I am keeping on top of that. But then I still, for whatever heckin' reason, I still, the writing is actually causing me anxiety where I still don't feel good. I know that then it's time to utilize, you know, one of the other four things that I have.
That makes sense. I like it.
Thank you. Well, so one of the things that I'm doing right now, actually do teacher training, because I was thinking about what I could do to reground myself and do something for me. And yoga has been super, super important in my life. Mm-hmm. And letting myself take a class is a really big deal because I had not previously, like it was really tough for me to let myself spend the money and the time and all of that that you kind of have to selfishly do, right? In order for, in order for it to be successful. So I let myself spend the money and I'm taking the class and I'm taking time to do it. And it's been wonderful. And it's been a self-growing experience. And the way I've justified it is that I'm doing it for other people. And it's true, because I want to be able to actually do yoga on Sundays with the stream. I think that's going to be awesome going forward.
Oh,
but I have to finish. Yeah, I have to finish the training first. But that's like a really good example of, I check that off my list now because I'm doing a lot of yoga as I'm training. And like, it makes me feel good. And I walk out of that class and I definitely feel good.
Fat Kitsune asked, how do you relax with anxiety since I suffer with anxiety from multiple sources?
Bat, I asked for a follow-up, meaning multiple sources, meaning people or like work or school. I guess it really doesn't matter as much as like regrounding. You need to, anxiety yes. is one of the biggest things that, one of the biggest Achilles heels of anxiety is logic. So depression, I found you can't beat with logic, but anxiety you can. Because it's not, anxiety is super not logical.
It's not.
Right. And maintaining on top of it and not letting it get bigger. So what that means is what will happen with people with anxiety is that the list of things that you avoid gets bigger and bigger as you give into it. Mm-hmm. So if like catching that is really, really important. So the way to relax with it is to do things that either counter the anxiety or, sometimes you got to do exposure therapy. Yeah. And that is a big one that I am, you know, sometimes when you say like relax with anxiety, my first reaction, and it's probably just because of where I am in my life right now, my first reaction is to be like, maybe don't push away from it so much. Yeah.
I know that when I'm dealing with anxiety, it's usually I end up being freaking out about going out or something. And so what I have to do is I have to physically force myself to go out. And yes. It is, I start with like somewhere where I can still be kind of by myself, but at least I'm out. And then I move into, okay, now there's a few people, now there's more people. Now there's a lot of people. And it's one of those, you got to expose yourself in order to face it for me, but that's just me.
I really like that, actually. I have another thing that we have in the community that's called Leap Over It. And so it's kind of like fake it till you make it, but I hate the way that that sounds. And most people I know really dislike it because yes. the whole fake it piece of it is very just like icky. Yeah. But so instead you leap over it. So you take that fear, you recognize it, and you just go, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So, and that's really the bottom of it. So fake it till you make it implies like, I know what's going on, but I'm just going to fake like I'm feeling okay about it. And that's not what I'm asking you to do. I am saying leap over it, say, acknowledge it, be like, I don't want to do this. This is scaring the crap out of me, but I'm just going to do it anyway in a little baby step and just see where that goes.
Yeah.
And that again goes back to what I was talking about before, where you build up enough positive feedback for your brain where you're like, oh, I can do this thing. I'm not anxious about it anymore. So like a great example that I bring up is being able to go to the gym. Some people, first of all, it's hard to motivate yourself. Second of all, it's for some people, that's a really big source of anxiety. And so maybe one day you're like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then you're like, you know what? What if today I just, and this is every day for a lot of people, I just put on yoga clothes. Yeah. What if that's what I do? All right, cool. I did that. And so next day, tomorrow, you can't be like, oh, I'm so anxious. You're like, well, I mean, I put on yoga clothes yesterday and that was fine. I didn't die. All right. Okay. And so that's like teaching yourself logic as well, right?
Yeah.
So then the next day you're like, I'm going to put on sneakers and I'm going to walk around my block. I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm not ready. I'm going to walk around my block.
Yeah.
And so that's it. So that you just start countering that brain that keeps telling you, you can't do this. You haven't done this. This is scary, by being like, yeah, but I did a thing and yeah. that wasn't that scary. And then I did another thing and actually turned out okay. That being said, you cannot do that. Exposure therapy, all this stuff, like it does not work if you're genuinely so anxious you can't start.
Yeah.
Like you can't start. If you go outside and you start your walk and you're like, oh my God, oh my God. And you start having a panic attack, go back inside.
Yeah.
The goal is not, because if you start not feeling well and you're pushing yourself through it, you're going to associate that with a negative experience,
yeah.
that it was not a successful thing that you did. But if you're successful, then you can keep building. And basically the only other thing that I'll say with in terms of relaxing is just being patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Just take the anxiety and be like, I'm freaking anxious.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I think the moral of all of this is baby steps. I think that sums it up, is just take baby steps into it. If you're able to take bigger leaps, then yes. But if not, then just take baby steps.
I like that. I like that a lot. Baby steps that are nice to you.
Yes, baby steps that are nice to you. Yeah, exactly.
I love coach. Anxiety is a conspiracy theory about mm-hmm. yourself. Freaking, I love that dude.
I'm going to use it.
I love that so much.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Does anybody have any other questions was what I was going to ask.
Yeah, because I finished most of my questions.
Thank you!
Thank you for gifting a sub, by the way, to Bat Kitsune, aka Jade. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Spamming that mode. Spamming that emote. Do 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 do. Here it is. All of it. Yes. Thank you so much for letting me spam that emote by giving it to me. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's awesome.
Does anyone have any more questions? Because otherwise, we can start wrapping it up with some final questions that I have.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This feels good. This feels like comfy cozy. So I'm
glad.
Yeah. I hope that like you're comfortable with where everything's going.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm here for your last ones.
Believe me, if I'm not comfortable, I'll stop it.
Okay. I like comfy. Don't end it. Oh, I know.
I know.
The end is the worst part.
The end is the worst part. So I do have some questions of, do you have any main resources that you would recommend? Because I know you have mm-hmm. some, or mm-hmm. I know you have a plethora, but what are your top, let's say, top three?
Top three. So top three would be, so in terms of resources, places to go to, I actually have them up on my website. I have something called like additional help. So I have like all the suicide hotlines to turn to. And then I also have just like places to go and sites that are comforting and that are helpful. But fair warning, I find comforting knowledge. So like it might be that I'm asking you to go to the American Psychology Association, but that's because like reading about that stuff makes me feel a lot better and knowing that it's coming from a good source and knowing that I can that I'm reading information that's reliable, like that all makes me feel good and it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. But in terms of other resources, there are awesome, awesome communities out there. So one of the things that I will also recommend, if you guys don't know, takethis.org, I am a streaming ambassador for them. So they're a phenomenal company. So one of the things that they do is they create away from keyboard rooms at conventions. So it's a place that's like completely quiet and super chill. So they do that, but they also have a ton of resources on their website. I don't think they sponsor people going through therapy, but I do know that they offer a bunch of stuff. So be sure to check them out. So it's takethis.org. That's that's the whole thing. And as a streaming ambassador for them, I would not have taken that title if they weren't as awesome as I know they are and as like reliable, and the people who work there genuinely want to see people feel better through the power of video games. So it's really cool. So that's honestly my top resource for people who are in here, because I know it's probably gamers. Other than that, Psychology Today is a great, great source. Mm-hmm. What I will say in terms of sources, I will tell you the ones to avoid, and that is, when you're not feeling good, try to avoid reading other people's not feeling good stories.
Yes.
It's not going to help. I do think that, you know, in some cases it can be helpful, I'm sure. But I think you'll find that, like, if you go and look at a bunch of pictures of puppies, you're going to be a lot happier than if you go and read, you know, how somebody else is going through a tough time.
Yeah.
That being said, going out there and supporting people is the best counter to all of these things. It's where the idea of be the light comes from. And that's just this notion that's it's the motto in my community, hashtag be the light. And that's like, when you're not feeling well, go out there and be an example of how people like you should be treated, how you want to be supported, how you want to be taken care of. Because people don't know what to do with people with mental illness. It's up to you to be a good example. And then giving back ultimately helps you so much. It makes you feel so much better. So that's what I always say. And I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
I think that's it. I think those are the main ones.
I know that there's been one that's been popping up a lot called anxiety gaming, which is one that I actually really like.
So they're actually now called Rise Above the Disorder.
Is it?
They just, so they just rebranded, and they're because they figured that anxiety gaming, which they're totally right, but now it's called RAD. So I met them at TwitchCon. They're really neat people, and they're trying to accomplish something really cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I guess we can wrap it up a little bit or wrap it up now. I know. Okay. This was a lot of fun though. I have to say.
I know. Well, we're doing it again next week. So I hope that this is fun. So, we're doing this next Tuesday.
Yes. On Tuesday next week, I will be on Anxiety's podcast or stream. I don't know. Her stream.
The podcast depends on, like, if we're both happy with the episode, that's what.
Yeah.
Yes, that's, it's not a crazy conspiracy or anything. That's so it's fair. A podcast for all intents and purposes.
So pretty much a podcast. Well, I'll be on it on Tuesday next week on her channel of twitch.tv/mxiety or MXIETY. And we'll be talking about learning to say no, right? Is that what it is?
It's learning to say no, and it's accepting your limits.
Yes.
So, like, when is it okay to accept something that you can't do something?
Mm-hmm. Because I know that I've dealt with it a lot, and we were just like, oh my gosh, this would be perfect. Because
not enough people give themselves the, like, okay to not do something.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult to say no. So it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right. So some of Anxiety's links is twitter.com/anxiety. That's MXIETY. Also, she has her own website of anxiety.com. twitch.tv/anxiety. And then she also is on Medium at anxiety.marie, MARIE.
Yes.
And then you guys can also find me on twitch.tv/sagetheragemage or on Twitter at @sage_rage_mage. And then I have to keep reminding myself what the podcast website and Twitter is because I keep forgetting it. But I think it is, I don't even know off the top of my head.
It's fine.
It's okay. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us on the Inspire Me podcast. Gosh,
thank you. I hope I helped. Because sometimes you stop these things and you're like, I just babbled for an hour and a half. Nobody found that useful. So if you did, thank you. Thank you for finding the things I'm saying useful, I guess.
I think it was very useful. And I'm sure it's one of the ones that I'll be listening to over and over and over because it has a lot of useful information and kind of some positive feedback and stuff, you know?
Thank you. That's cool. All right. Awesome. We did a thing.
Yay.